Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. For the new people that are here tonight, I will explain that a little. And the older people that have already been here, they need it explained again, too. The whole idea of this teaching is that we are one with this thing that we call God. And you can call God anything that you want. If you're familiar with Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes' book, he calls it the thing itself. We do not know exactly what God is. We have ideas of what God is, and we've heard all our lives what God is through brand name churches and so forth. Many of the things that we've heard through brand name churches are completely wrong, and most of it is nothing but twaddle. So, in this teaching called The Science of Mind, we concern ourselves with our thinking, and what we are thinking and what our thoughts are, because we know perfectly well that what we think about, we bring about, and we can prove this scientifically. That's why it is called science of the mind. When you use the word science, it means that you can prove something, and that anyone can use it and prove it, and the result will always be the same. That is why we have this whole thing called science. If I can prove it, you have to be able to prove it also. And I have proven it many times that it is my thinking that is creating everything. So, therefore, if I know that, you must know that also, that it's not my thinking. It is your thinking that is creating your life, your world. You can go back to the saying of Henry Ford. Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. You see, it has nothing to do with the outside world. It has nothing to do with any authority figure in your life, especially parents and teachers and so forth. You must make up your mind who you are, and what you want to become. And you will become that by using your thinking. Now, with that said, I brought the metaphysical Bible, and it's a dictionary to the Bible, because everything in the Bible can be read metaphysically. And when I got this, I brought it for Candace here. I had this marker in here, and something underlined in red. And I want to read this, because I'm sure that it's going to shock some people, especially Paula's sister. In spite of these oft-repeated illustrations of Jesus showing the kingdom of heaven to be a state of consciousness, the great mass of Christians are today teaching that it is a place to which people who accept Jesus as their Savior will go when they die. Now here's the catch. There is no authority in the Bible for such doctrine. It's not mentioned in the Bible. And I know people who are Bible thumpers, people who read the Bible, they will swear that that's in the Bible. It is not in the Bible, people. You can read the Bible up one side and down the other. It does not tell you where heaven is. It tells you that heaven is a state of mind, a state of consciousness. It has to do, again, with your thinking, with the thoughts that you are thinking. So, I just thought I would bring that, since it fell off my bookshelf, and there it was, already underlined and marked. So I must have looked this up once before for somebody. Now, have you ever heard that before, Paula?
No.
Only in Science of Mind, but your sister thinks it's in the Bible, doesn't she? Yes. People think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I don't know where people get that. You know where they get it? Because they don't read the Bible correctly. And they take for granted that if somebody is the head of a church, a preacher, they're telling the truth. They're not telling the truth, most of the ministers. because they don't know how to read the Bible either. So, with that said, you can borrow that. And there's all kinds of, when you go through that, you'll find out a great deal of things. Now, I'm not putting the other churches down or anything like that. I'm just pointing out, tonight we start a new month, and the month is thoughts. And we're going to talk about thoughts, because thoughts are all there is. There's only thought. There is nothing else. You can go call it anything else you want. It's always going to boil down to thinking. It's always going to boil down to what you're thinking.
My sister said to me today, I go to a holy roller church, but I'm not holy roller. I'm not a holy roller. And I said, well, it's about the principle of the religion.
Yes. Does anyone know where the term "roly"? Well, now I'm doing it. Holy rollers came from. Well, they used to roll around on the ground, and they still do. Yes,
still do.
They roll around. They get possessed or enlightened or whatever they want to call it. The spirit enters them. They talk sometimes in tongues, and they roll around on the ground. So that's where we get that term from. Holy rollers. And does anyone remember also we used to have what was called the Shakers? And that was a religion. And they shook. Now, they didn't shake like this. They shook like this. Now, does anyone know what the Shakers are famous for? Furniture. Shaker furniture. They make beautiful furniture. But that's what they shook.
Does their whole body shake like that?
No. Well, when they go in a line around, they just keep going around in a circle with their hands shaking like that. See? And does anyone remember the dervish people?
No.
The spinning dervish. All they do is spin. They just keep spinning. It's a wonderful thing to see because they wear white. And that garment looks very thin. They look very thin in these garments, so they start to spin. That garment goes out and out and out, just keeps going. It looks like a big saucer. I mean, it's wonderful to see. Now, what can I tell you about those people? How do they learn to do that? They put their bare feet, of course. They have a nail between their feet, between their big toe, that holds them in place while they learn to spin. After that, the nail's not there any longer. But to learn to spin, they put the nail between the big toe and the next toe, and they learn to spin. And that is like chanting or anything else. You get a vibration going, you get something going, and you feel something. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. I'm just, you know, telling you that's how some people experience this thing that we call God. You can experience God any way you want to experience God. It comes through your mind, through your thinking, through your thoughts. So here again, for the new people that are here, one of the tenets of this thinking is what you think about, you bring about. What you think about, you bring about. What does that mean? If you think you're a failure and this happened to you and that happened to you, you're going to bring more of that into your life. When you realize that you are the creator of your own life, your own thinking, your life takes on a whole new demeanor. We truly are using this thing that we call God is in us and through us. And we have to remember that we are creating. The same way that we say God creates, we are one with this thing called God. There is no separation whatsoever. Therefore, we have to be able to have the power to create. And we do that. Now, these handouts, I may go through a little of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's quite lengthy. But it's quite interesting. This is all kinds of new material so that you can change your mind, so that you can change your thinking about things. That's all this teaching is about. This teaching never teaches you what to think. It teaches you how to think. Not what to think. If you want to know what to think, go to a brand name church. They're more than willing to tell you how to think. More than willing. They love to do that. In fact, they get a big high and a big kick out of that for some reason, because they want everyone to think the same. We do not all think the same. So, this I want to read this one. What if our religion was each other? If our practice was our life? If prayer our words? What if the temple was the earth? If forests were the church? If holy water the rivers, lakes, and ocean? What if meditation was our relationships? If the teacher was life? If wisdom was self-knowledge, if love was the center of our being. This is the new way to think about things. We've been thinking for more than 2,000 years in one direction, and it is time to start thinking differently. And when you have time to read this at home and let it and absorb it, you will see that we have learned so many things about the universe, about ourselves, about life, that we must now start to incorporate in, if you want to call it a religion, if you want to call it a philosophy, whatever you want to call it, it is time for you to learn to think for yourselves and not just swallow everything that churches have been telling you since day one. And a great example is, I know, if I would say this to my family, that in the Bible it does not mention heaven as a place, they would absolutely go rabid. They would say, you're absolutely wrong, Dallas. It's in the Bible. And I would say to them, then show me where it is. And that, of course, they would never take the time to go through the Bible to find it. It is not in there. It is not in there. So, that's a new concept, a new way to think of things. And that's all this teaching is about, to learn to think differently. To learn to think differently about yourself. To hold yourself always in the highest of esteem. To see yourself as one with this thing that we call God, with one with this thing that we call the universe. And what else do we know about this? We say that God has power. If God has power, if we came from that power, we have to have power also. So we have to be able to use that power to change our lives. Now, one of the other things that Andy, who's not here tonight, always likes me when I say this, change your mind, change your life. And it's very easy for us to change our mind. The difficult part is keeping it changed. Because the world outside does not think those thoughts. You have to remember that we're always living in some thought atmosphere of some type or other. And if you're going to live in a thought atmosphere, there's no way you could not live in a thought atmosphere, by the way. No way. If you're not in a thought atmosphere, you're comatose. You have to be in some type of a thought atmosphere. So why don't you make that thought atmosphere your thought atmosphere? Think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel, instead of thinking somebody else's thought. And what am I saying when I say somebody else's thought? The world itself. Why do you want to do that? The world itself does not teach success. It will never teach success. It teaches failure. This teaching teaches success. Now, the two new fellows that August brought here tonight, young people studying acting. Am I right? All right. Now, there's a thought atmosphere in acting. And you must learn what that thought atmosphere is. Does anyone watch that show which is going off, and I'm so grateful that it's going off the air, called Smash? Well, it teaches the industry that it's hard, that you're backbiting, that you're this, that you're that, that you have to wait for the breaks, you have to wait for, you must learn to make your own breaks. So, the other thing with which I will tell you in this teaching, there is no such thing as competition. There is no such thing as competition. Somebody called me today and wanted to know why somebody else got something and they didn't. What had they done wrong? I said, you probably did nothing wrong, but you must never compare yourself with anybody else. You see, you're an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. Individualized. When somebody gets something and you didn't get it, you must realize that this thing called God does not show favorites. That person was thinking something correctly that got them what they wanted. I don't care if it's money, a job, a position. We must always go back to the idea of what are we thinking in our mind that is stopping us from having what we want. It's not the world, it's not your parents, it's not your education. It is your thinking. What thoughts are you thinking about yourself? Do you see yourself as the actor that you want to be? You say, or the job that you want? Do you see yourself doing those things? If you keep that going in mind, mind has to produce it for you. That is the wonderful thing about this teaching and about science itself. Science has now discovered that our thoughts absolutely have power. Absolutely have power. They have energy. They have life. And they go out and they bring back to you what you have put out there. They will match your thinking every time. You have to remember that you're always looking in a mirror, and that mirror is reflecting back to you what you are thinking. The mirror is reflecting back to you what you are thinking. Now, how can we prove some of that? Well, how many people do you know that look in the mirror and they see themselves physically not attractive? They don't see themselves the way they are. You have to be able to see yourself as the magnificent being that you are. And so many people are unable to do that because their thinking, their thoughts are hindering them in some way, because they have a belief system going on. You must change your belief systems. And that is how you succeed in life. Did you have a question?
I was going to say, be a vibrational match.
Oh, yes.
In your thinking for,
yes,
what you want to know.
Right. And if you read this, it will tell you all about vibrations and what you're matching up with and what's going on and how the universe is expanding and all this type of thing. And it's all done with vibration, and last week we talked about vibration. And you have to match the vibration of what you want. You have to be able to match that vibration. How do you do that? Well, usually by trial and error, but at least you don't give up and you don't say, well, I can't do that. You say, I can do that. I want to be an actor, and I'm going to be a good actor, and I'm going to find that job, and that job is coming to me now, and this is happening, and it will start to happen for you. But it's done through thought, through thinking. Many times we think we can just have idle thoughts and so forth. You have reached a point in evolution we've reached several points in evolution. One point that we've reached in evolution is the idea that we are now participating with evolution itself. And that is why things are moving faster and faster, because we have learned to participate with evolution. You see, there's not evolution in you. It's you as evolution. There's not God in evolution. There's God as evolution. Because there's only ever one thing going on. One thing going on. We do, for years now, we have done worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And when you're not getting what you want, you have to sit down and ask yourself, well, what is my thinking? Am I worthy? Am I deserving? Am I totally lovable? And do I matter? We have to think those thoughts for ourselves and about ourselves. When we do that, here again, we send out a vibration that comes back to us. We send out a vibration that comes back to us. So, this month, what I'm trying to teach you is the only thing that you ever have to worry about, excuse me, is your thinking. The only thing that you ever have to change in life is your thinking. We think that we have to change people. You cannot change people. But when you change, people change. So many people in the 12-step program have taken that wonderful thing that they call the geographical cure. What is the geographical cure? That means I'm drinking in Boston, but if I move to New York, I won't drink anymore. Well, you take yourself with you. You're going to drink in New York till you decide not to drink anymore, that it's not good for you, that it's not bringing you what you want. So many people try that, and they try that not only with drinking, they try that with everything. Oh, if I move, things will be better, you know. Oh, it's the neighborhood I'm in. Oh, it's the apartment I'm in. Oh, it's this. If I change those things, if I move, things will be different. You can never move away from yourself. You're always where you are. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're always where you are. You cannot escape your own self. Thoughts are the main thing in life. Learning to control your thinking. Learning to control your thinking. So I said we've reached a point in life now where we're not only participating with evolution, the other thing that we have reached in life, and if you've been in this teaching long enough, you realize no longer can you afford the luxury of a negative thought. Negative thinking used to be fun. We used to love to gossip. We used to love to put somebody down. That was fun. It's not fun anymore. You cannot do that. Why? It boils down to the other thing, that we're all one. You know, when you point your finger at somebody, what happens? Three fingers point back at you. Your mind does not know. If I call August a rotten son of a gun, and many people have, my mind does not know that I'm calling August that. It only knows that I'm calling myself that. It only knows I'm calling myself that. So when we try to put people down, when we try to say negative things and so forth, the mind does not know that you're talking about somebody else. Your mind only knows about you. Now, many people also think in treatment and so forth that you're sending this manifesto to the universe or to God. You're not sending any manifesto or to God or the universe. You're sending it to your own mind. You're sending it to your own mind. We do in this teaching a thing called spiritual mind treatment, which is only a form of prayer. And prayer, we know, goes someplace and does something. We know the treatment goes someplace and does something. But it goes someplace and does something in our own mind. In our own mind. You cannot change the mind of God, but you can change your mind. So it's always going to be about you. This is a teaching, a selfish, selfish teaching. It only teaches you about yourself. Isn't that something? I often tell when I was in Boy Scouts, remember, it was God first, others second, and self third. In this teaching, it's you first, others second, and God third. You see, you don't have to impress God. God is above and beyond all of that. God is always going to be beyond thoughts and words, people. Always going to be beyond that. If you could affect the mind of God, the whole universe would change. God's mind is God's mind. You can join with that mind, but you cannot change that mind. And that's what we're trying to do here. We are trying to think God thoughts after it. God thoughts after it. So the other thing that we're always trying to remember is that we give all these qualities to this thing called God. Love, beauty, understanding, compassion. We have to have those things ourselves. You say, we have to have those things ourselves. Now, I think the biggest thing to tell is we say God is perfect. God is perfect. And we say we came from God, which means perfection. And something that's perfect cannot make something that's not perfect. So when you have a thought that you're not perfect, you're not thinking a God thought after it. You must change that thought. Now, here again, we'll go back to what Casey said earlier. When we're using thoughts, we're also, you can use the word vibration. Because thoughts set up a vibration. Words set up a vibration. This whole universe is vibrating. I am vibrating at this particular vibration so that you can see me. If I were vibrating at a different level, you wouldn't be able to see me, or you would see something else instead of me. So my vibration is my vibration. Yours is your vibration, but we're all vibrating. So the things that you want in life are vibrating. You must find that vibration, and you must match that vibration. You match that vibration by becoming the thing itself. So if you want to be an actor, you must become an actor. You must start acting as if that were true and will become true. The vibration will be the same. So, what else? When we're looking out there, we had last month we were talking about from where it is now. Everything is already done in mind. Everything is already done in the mind of God. You do not have to create anything. You have to discover it and bring it to this plane of action. Is what you're trying to do. On this plane of action, we use the term that somebody discovered something. No one discovered anything. They've uncovered something. The law of aerodynamics was in effect when Moses was leading his people out of Egypt. They just didn't discover it yet. No one discovered aerodynamics when they built an airplane. I mean, they didn't invent that. They discovered, oh, here's a law. Here's a law. That's all this thing is. That's all the universe is a law. It's a law called the law of cause and effect. Or it's a law called the law of attraction. The law of attraction. You are attracting things to you. And you're doing that with your thinking, with your thoughts. So we learn to control our thinking. We learn to become witnesses to our thinking so that we can see what we're thinking. Now, on your computer at home, if something, you type something out there and you don't like it, don't you delete it and get rid of it? But you think thoughts, you never bother to delete them. If it's a horrible thought, I hate thought, a thought of lack and limitation, you can't let it just float around out there picking up, because it'll pick up vibrations and drag them back to you. You have to change your mind about that. You have to sit yourself down and you have to say, now listen here, I do not believe that. I live in a universe that is abundant. I live in a universe that is prosperous. And I am abundant and prosperous. And then you start to become that. You start to see that. You start to vibrate with that vibration. The world is vibrating with lack and limitation. The world vibrates at a very low level of energy. You do not want that in your life. You have to remember to be in this world, but not be of this world. You come from a different world. You come from a different world. And you have to remember that. Many people, I think Casey has some friends and so forth, we call ourselves star people. We come from the stars. Why do people think that they came from the stars? Well, we're made of the same stuff as stars, that's why. And the stuff that we are made of, we know that we are made of carbon and so forth. Carbon is in stars. There's very little carbon on this planet. This planet is made of silica. This planet is made of silica. So that's why you can call yourself a star person, because you have the same elements inside of you that the stars have in the universe. Many people think that we are what's called intentional beings. And here again, it's a new way of thinking. When I use the word intentional beings, that means we were deliberately created to hold spirit. What came before us is not here anymore. The Neanderthals are no longer with us because they could not hold spirit. We can hold spirit. Therefore, we are intentional. Now, many people are looking for the link, the lost link. I think, isn't it called the lost link? Missing link. I knew it was something like that. Are looking for the missing link. They'll never find it because there is no missing link. We sprang up on our own. We did not come from apes. We did not come from that. Now we have some of the same characteristics and so forth. But in the geological strata of the earth, they could not ever see that going. There was the Neanderthal, and then all of a sudden there were humans. There was no progression, and you couldn't study that. So all the strata, it's never there. That lost link, they will never find. Let them keep trying. Let them do all that. Here again, these are thoughts. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you are thinking. What you are thinking right here and right now about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? Are you saying, oh, I can't grasp this? What the hell is he talking about? You have to tell your mind, I can grasp this. I can understand this. I do understand this. You see, you're the one who has to do those things. And you can do it because it's done with your mind. It's done with your thinking. This mind, this brain, between our ears is the most powerful thing that has ever been created. Now, I've told you this before, and I'll tell it to you once again. They have discovered if they made a computer that could do everything that our mind can do, it would be half the size of the United States to be able to do everything. So you have to know those things about yourself. You have to know what a miracle you are. You have to know why you're sitting here on these chairs, all the wonderful things that are going on inside of you. I'm sitting here and I know perfectly well that the dinner I have is digesting. And that during that process of digesting, all the food that I ate is going to the right places in my body. Not only healing me, rebuilding me, renewing me. You have to know that about yourself. No one knows how, if you eat a carrot, it becomes a fingernail. There's no one, I don't care, even Albert Einstein could not figure that out. We are an absolute living miracle. Absolute living miracle. The processes that are going on inside of you right now, tens of thousands of processes that are going on which you don't even know about. Now, you can take time and learn all that stuff if you wish, you know. Is it necessary? No. But it's nice to know those things. It's nice not to take your body and what's going on for granted. Oh, this is just... No. Know what wonderful things are going on in there. If that brings you closer to the understanding that this thing we call God is phenomenal. It's phenomenal because we can't do this stuff on ourselves. We cannot do it for ourselves. We have no idea how wonderful our hands are. Look at all the things a hand can do. It's a miracle. And that's what you must start to think of yourself as a wonderful miracle. In this whole wonderful process called life. And it is done with your thoughts. It is done with your thinking. When I go to the doctor, he says to me, I'm going to take your blood pressure. And I say to him, what would you like it to be? And then I make my blood pressure be that. You can control your blood pressure. You can control your heartbeat. You can control your breathing. There are many things that we can control. It's not necessary to do that. It's sort of like a parlor trick. I just like to freak the doctor out when I do those things. You know, take some of the wind out of his sails, so to speak. But it's done with thought, is what I'm trying to explain to you. It's done with thought, I think. Oh, he wants that? Okay. And I think what he wants. Then my body produces that. And my body produces that. Always be concerned with thinking. What are you thinking? Not what am I thinking. What are you thinking? We were all brought up in different religions, in different churches and so forth. But we all got the same thing, didn't we? We all thought heaven was someplace. Heaven was someplace. I tell this cute story. I like it. When I was a minister in Tennessee, they wanted to put me on the radio. So, the general manager of the radio station said to me, "Do you believe in heaven?" I said, "Most assuredly." He says, as a place? I said, "As a place, you mean geographically?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "No." He said, "Well, then you cannot be on the radio. Because people think that heaven is located where? Up. And what's down here? What's down here, this thing we never talk about? Hell. None are geographical location, which does not exist. It does not exist, people. Hell does not exist. Heaven does. But heaven is a state of consciousness. You see, you can be in heaven any time that you want. You don't have to wait till you're dead to enter heaven. You enter heaven when you correct your thinking. When you find peace of mind, when you start to like yourself, when you start to love yourself, when you start to be extraordinarily kind to yourself. Extraordinarily kind to yourself. But we're not taught that. And the mind immediately says, "Oh, you must be arrogant if you think that, you know." No, you're not being arrogant when you think. When I say, "All that I am is God, that I am not all that God is," some people go banana. Because they think, "Oh, who does he think he is? Does he think he's God?" And my answer is yes. But I think you're God, and you're God, and you're God, and you're God. But we're all God. We're all God. And that's what you must think about yourself. So with these thoughts, changing your thoughts. The main thing, I think, is to change the idea that you're here to suffer in any way, shape, or form. You are not on this plane of action to suffer. You are on this plane of action to learn to love yourself. You are on this plane of action because you chose to come here. You're the one who chose to come here. You were floating around in consciousness somewhere, and you said, "This is a little boring. I need to discover more. I need to discover more about myself." And you incarnated on this planet. Now you're here, but you forgot that you brought yourself here because you have all these people telling you how to live your life. And you start to feel bad about yourself. If you have a wonderful thought, you think, "Oh, I can't think that thought because it's blasphemy." You cannot have a blasphemous thought. It's an impossibility to do that. Because this thing called God loves you so much, it would never take offense about anything you do. You take offense about what you do. God doesn't. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God is always smiling in sweet repose. In sweet repose. You can do that too. You have the same ability, the same qualities. And you do that with your thinking, with your thought. So learn to change your thought. And learn to see yourself as the wonderful person that you are. The wonderful person that you are. And don't be afraid to be who you are. You can't be anybody else. You know, people always want to be somebody else. And that's knocking your head against the wall. You can't be anybody but who you are. You can't be. So you have to learn to love yourself just the way you are. There's no mistakes. There's no mistakes going on anywhere. So learn to love yourself. Change your mind about who you are. Change your mind from all that stuff that you learned when you were a child, when you were in school, or especially when you were in church or when you were in Sunday school. Because most of it is nothing but twaddle. And I expect you, and I might only say that most of it is not only twaddle, you know, most of it is complete myth. It's completely made up. But it's been told. If you tell a lie for 2,000 years, you know, it sounds like the truth. If you tell a lie that long, it sounds like the truth. And we often do that, don't we? Rose lived through that whole situation. Germany told a lie long enough that people started to believe it, didn't they? Yes. You see, if you tell a lie long enough, people will start to believe it. You must learn to think for yourselves. You must learn to stand up for yourself. You must say, I am an individualized expression of this thing called God, the only power that there is in the universe, and I can learn to use that power to bring into my life what I want so that I can live a better life, an abundant life, a prosperous life, a healthy life. That is what you want to bring into your life. And I can become an actor because I do not compete with anyone. I am creative. I do not listen to the atmosphere of the industry. Of the industry. I know many actors, and what's the one atmosphere that they live in? I'll never work again. They all say that. As soon as they're out, as soon as the show closes, I'll never work again. You must get rid of that idea. Especially in this day and age. My God, turn on the television. There's 9,000 stations on there hiring actors. There's 9,000 stations on television now. There's an abundance always going on. And people want you. You have to say that to yourself. People want me. You see? And then things will happen for you. The idea to say to yourself, people want me. If you're going for any job, you have to say, people want me. The other wonderful affirmation, I've given this to you many times, is there's always a place for me. There's always a place for me in the universe. You can use that to find a car parking space, a theater ticket, a room, a job, or anything. It always is, the thought is, there is always a place for me. Come in. So,
how about the next best opportunity is always knocking?
Always, yes.
I like you always said, the telephone is ringing.
Yes, telephone is always ringing. Yes, and opportunities are like buses. They keep coming and coming and coming. We live and move and have our being in a field of total possibilities, people. You must see all the possibilities, but we are blinded. We put on glasses that do not see the possibilities. We see all the limitation. This is not a universe of limitation. This is a universe that is unlimited. When you read the handouts that I gave you, you'll see that we are expanding. We have discovered more and more galaxies. We've discovered more and more stars. We just keep going and going and going. And that's what you must start to think. I keep going. I keep going. And I had a mentor and a teacher years ago, and the motto there was, never give up. Keep on trucking. Never give up. Keep on trucking. And that by the way, is one of the, I'm not going to use, well, I couldn't use the word, one of the essence of the Bible. Read the Bible. No one ever gave up in the Bible. They kept right on going. They kept right on going. From the story of knocking on the door. Do you remember the story of knocking on the door? The person needed bread. And it was nighttime. They knocked on the door. No one would come. They just kept knocking and knocking. Finally, a light went on upstairs. They kept right on knocking. Finally, the man came down and opened the door and said, "What do you want?" "I want bread." "Okay, here's your bread." But what do? We go, "Oh, well, no one's home." And we leave. We do that with jobs. We do that. Actors do that all the time. Well, I tried that. It didn't work, so I'm not going to try that again. Keep trying and keep on trucking. Keep on going. There's no. It will happen for you. It will happen. The door must always open. The door must always open. Use those things. Does anyone remember the, if you don't, I'll tell you, the three tenets that I live by? Three tenets that I live by. Knock and the door will open. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. I always take the right turn in the road, and God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. And that is the way you run your life. But you do that with your thinking. You do that with changing your mind. You do that by holding yourself in the highest of esteem and realizing that the thoughts that are going on in your head, you can change anytime you want. And the other thing I think that most people completely forget is you can never only think one thought at a time. Even though people say, "Oh, I have 100 thoughts going on inside of there." Absolutely a lie. It may feel that way, but you can only ever think one thought at a time. So you must pick the thought that you want to think. Pick the thought that you want to think and become the person that you want to become. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.